You are listening to Fantha Tracks.
Because of the following special program, Wonder Woman and the Incredible Hulk will not be presented this evening.
Time to get all your Star Wars news in a single file. This is Making Tracks. Here are your hosts, Mark Newbold and Mark Mulcaster.
It's not true. That's impossible.
You're listening to Making Tracks and a very special episode as Paul McHugh heads to Capital Sci-Fi Con in Edinburgh, an event that raises money for CHAS, a charity for vulnerable children in Scotland, to listen to Dennis Lawson and Angus McInnes discuss their illustrious careers both inside and out of the Star Wars galaxy. So here's Angus and Dennis discussing Star Wars and much more on a very special episode of Making Tracks.
Yes, it was a very busy day and the amount of people that was here. The one thing I love that every guest and everybody that walks through the store is that it works, everybody, it works for an amazing cause for CHAS. Everything. Yeah. Because it's one of those few events where just by showing your love and coming to meet amazing guests, you're putting some good out in the world.
Yeah.
Is it nice to be able to come and speak to your fans and just know every time you do an autograph, this is making some good in the world.
Yeah,
this
and, nice. And I have to say, you know, my nephew Ewan's been very involved with CHAS. Ewan McEwan or something like that. Anyway,
oh, hello
and,
there, him. Oh,
and yeah. Also my sister Carol's been involved with CHAS too. So this is the first time for me, so it's very nice to get in there with the rest of the family. It's brilliant.
Was this
brilliant.
Like the first time you've been able to help out with CHAS? Like, as you say, Ewan, I can't remember him, that it's been in your family, but this is you've been able to help out by showing up today.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
that's right.
That's yeah. Fantastic.
No, it's lovely. Keeping it in the family, it's great. It's brilliant.
And Angus, you've been coming here for a good few years. You're like one of the guest ambassadors.
Well, nobody buys my picture anymore because everybody's bought one. But that's okay. I like to come here because, you know, but it's dangerous.
Oh?
Yeah, yesterday I was walking. You got to be careful because there's so many little kids here. Yesterday, like, it was wall to wall little kids.
Yeah.
You know, little tiny guys. And, like, if you won't watch, you step on them. And you squash a kid, and nobody's going to talk to you for the rest of the day.
I think that's a...
Watch out, you know. Yeah. So, you little guys, just watch out for big guys. Because, I mean, they squash you.
I think that's like a...
So it's smaller than you.
Even smaller.
You're big. These guys were, like, really small. About size 12.
Angus, are you sure you're not confusing it with the ant outbreak we had yesterday?
No, I'm not.
No?
Okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. I got a grip.
Yeah.
I have a grip.
Yeah, I think that's just like a good life lesson in general. Don't step on children.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
If you take anything away from this panel, is I should be more exhausted and don't step on children.
Yeah, that's
but the
that's
good
a
ones.
Good
the good ones are like that little girl over there. She's wearing a really nice dress.
Yes, over there.
So it's hard to step on her. Because
you can see her very clearly, yeah.
And maybe pink would be good.
Yeah.
Except for the boys, don't wear pink guys.
I literally have no idea who you're talking about. Anybody want to wave the... Oh, right over there.
Yeah, she's over there.
Yeah. Yes, now, I apologize.
Hello.
There you are.
Hi.
You do look amazing. And by the way, the Ghostbuster beside you, mwah, excellent work.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to represent my franchise. You've got Star Wars or Star Trek or Star Battle, whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah.
I've got Ghostbusters.
Princess. She's a princess. We have princesses.
Of course.
Star Wars.
No, well, that's a Ghostbuster. I mean, I'm sure
that's a Ghostbuster.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can stretch
it. We believe
it.
You. We believe you.
The princess.
It's a lovely princess.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know where we're going with this. I'm so sorry. People just sitting here in the
stay
audience
focused,
going,
stay
I thought
focused,
they were
going to say.
Yeah, I thought they were going to talk about Star Wars. They're talking about Ghostbusters and dresses and how Carl Weathers tapered his suits. What's going on? Well, the one I did actually wanted to ask you this, Dennis, is that when you returned for Empire, what was the mood different because Star Trek come out big, massive success, and then a sequel comes along? There must have been like added pressure on everybody.
No, it didn't. Honestly, it didn't feel that way. You know, I think we, you know, because we all the time we'd done the first movie together, all this, particularly all the pilots and everything, and we would hang outside the soundstage waiting for our turn to go up and, you know, into the cockpit and all that stuff. And a lot of us knew each other anyway. We were similar ages and dads, had various friends who were involved. So by the time we got to the second movie, it was almost like a social occasion, you know? So we, you know, we would hang out together and chat away and have a laugh and then jump in and do our shtick, our stuff. Yeah. And so it didn't feel like, it was extraordinary that it just went woof like that.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel, you know, the pressure might have been on George Lucas and the producers and stuff, possibly, I suppose. But the fact is, George, now that I remember, he wrote the trilogy before he made the first one.
He did, yeah.
Didn't he? Yeah, that's right. So he's just some kind of genius, that man, I think. Yeah. It's extraordinary. So anyway, no, we did not feel that. We were just having a good time.
Well, that's what I like
to
hear.
No, I just spend my time being jealous of the people who... You see, they killed me in the first one.
No.
And I got to be killed in most of the movies that I've done. And I think... it took me a lot of years to figure out that they finally thought, whatever you do, don't get this guy back. So... Let's kill him here, okay?
Yeah.
We'll bury him in something.
Yeah.
Pile of horse manure.
Yeah.
We need somebody to die in this scene. Get me Angus McGuinness.
He's dead.
Oh, God, that took a turn.
Hi, this is David W. Collins, voice actor for Star Wars and sound designer at Skywalker Sound. You are listening to Fantatrax.
Because I was actually asked here, said something, Angus, is that during... the making of Empire Strikes Back, they had a lot of weather conditions. What with the snow on the planet Hoth.
Yes, because we shot in Norway. Yes,
that's
of course.
Right.
We went to we flew into Bergen in Norway, and then we got on a train.
Yeah,
and there was a lot of snow around, and the train just went up and up and up. And as the train went up, I noticed the trees disappeared, and then I noticed the snow wasn't falling like that. It was going horizontally across like that.
Ooh.
And then we got to the ski lodge to shoot on these ice fields.
Mm-hmm.
And we were trapped there for 3 days. Luckily, Des, there was a discotheque in the basement.
Oh.
So we danced the night away for 3 days, which was great. And then finally, I remember Irvin Kershner was the director.
Yeah.
Tall guy, bit of a... And I remember when we started, we were going to shoot that... when finally we could get out, the blizzard stopped.
Yeah.
And he ran out with this big cap on and his big locks dangling down and turned around and went, here go the crazies, and ran out of the hotel. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great fun.
I love that you slagged off a tech there, because my tech's up there and at some point your mic phone's just going to cut out and you'll know why.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
And I remember that the reason I brought this up is because you worked on that opening scene of Hellboy.
Yeah, yeah.
That was set in Scotland. And I just remember torrential rain. And I was going to ask... when you answered my question about the weather conditions on Empire, I was going to ask, what's it like trying to act with like just huge constant pouring of rain
They put four rain towers on us. Four rain towers. And these things are like, they're like big umbrellas, gigantic umbrellas, and they spit water all over the place. And then they have fans and it blows it. And it was 5 below 0.
Oh my God.
And I'm Canadian, and we are tough as nails. And I was crying. I mean, it was so cold. And we had this young actor called Jim Howick, who is one of the regulars on Ghosts. He's the guy with the arrow through his neck.
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Jim's a great guy. He's a lovely guy, very funny guy. But it was his first movie. And we came down to do some work, and there's no Jim. So we found his room and his no Jim. And he was a real regular guy. So I went up to his room and I pounded on his door, no Jim. So we came down and the driver was there to take us to the set. We were shooting at night. So we go there at 5:30 and we'd shoot till dawn. And I said, we can't go anywhere because Jim's not here. And he says, okay, Jim is not a problem. We're shooting in the Czech Republic, just outside of Prague. He says, Jim is coming. He's going to set himself. I said, well, where is he? He's in the hospital. I said, what? He says, he's in the hospital. I said, what are you talking about? He said, he had hypothermia. So they put him on a drip, They took him from the hospital. I swear to God. They took him from the hospital, and they put him back on the set under the rain towers for 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to show business.
And I got onto the set, and I went crazy.
Yeah.
And I called the producer, and I said, excuse me, but we're not finishing this sequence.
Yeah.
And he said, he panicked. And he said, what do you mean? What do you mean? I said, because we're all going to be in the hospital. I said, this is the movie. It's not real.
Yeah.
And we can't do this. But we were sitting in, we had wetsuits on underneath.
Yeah.
And we were soaking wet. We were floating in our boots. And it was, I've never seen this in my life. I watched icicles forming on the set. The whole set was covered in the patina of glass. It looked like glass.
Wow.
Oh, my God. And it was just the most, and we had this really weird set. I mean, it was like, it was supposed to be this Scottish ruins.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, and they got all these Nazis running around, and I was like, I mean, it was really surreal. And, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, it's 9 below 0 one night.
Oh,
I'm thinking, like, why am I here?
Yeah, boy. Yeah.
But as soon as I said that to the producer, his name was Patrick Palmer, and I worked on the first movie I made. He used to be Norman Jewison's number one producer.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy was about 85 or 90 years of age at the time. I mean, he was older than I am. And he instantly changed everything. As soon as I said that, he said, okay, fine. We came off the set. There was coffee waiting. There was hot towels. There was brandy in the coffee. And we went right back to our caravans, out of our stuff, and into sleeping bags, and we got warmed up. But I was really concerned. I mean, this business is fabulous, and we have fabulous experiences.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you hit the wall, and it's like,
yeah,
we can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
This is just not right.
Yeah.
I mean, when somebody winds up in the hospital and they take him back on the set, I was like, are you serious? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
A needle in his arm. You know, it's like they're hydrating him. And
yeah.
That's ridiculous. But then he went off and he's done Ghost, which is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
So funny, isn't it?
Yeah, Ghost is off the walls.
Yeah. You know?
He's clearly recovered.
Just about, but every once in a while he'll get Vietnam flashbacks of getting hypothermia and Angus screaming, "We're not doing this! Get me brandy!"
For everything in one location, daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video and social media feeds, bookmark FanthaTracks.com for Star Wars news 24/7, 365.
We do have time for a few questions, folks. Like with the panels yesterday and with this morning, if anybody does want to ask a question, if you could just come to the microphone in the front, it's just so that we can hear you and that the rest of the audience can hear you. Is anybody out there would like to ask a question for either Dennis or Angus, or hell, even myself?
Hey.
Or
there you go.
Hi, thanks for coming. It's lovely that you've came to Edinburgh today.
Oh, thank you. You're very welcome.
Yeah. So I've got kind of two questions. What were your thoughts when you were first offered Star Wars? I mean, how was it pitched? Was it like dogfights in space and, you know, the kind of traditional way?
What?
And also, Dennis, when your nephew was cast,
yeah,
what were your initial thoughts? Were you like, wow, that's a great experience for him, or
whatever? Well, let me go. I think being offered it was kind of very, I met George like in 76, that's right, and with a load of other young actors, and I always heard the story, he gave you marks out of 10, something like that, and so I met him, and then nothing happened, and then I went to France that year. It was quite exciting. I did a couple of movies in France, and finally came back, and just got this call saying, oh, they want you to do this a Star Wars thing where you met George Lucas up, and okay, why not, and that's how it was. It was as matter of fact as that, you know. In terms of Ewan, I'm glad you asked me about that, because Ewan always likes to tell the story that I told him not to do Star Wars, don't you, Jeff? Which is just nonsense. What I did say to him was, this is great, but be careful, because there's a thing in the profession called typecasting, right? Where if you're hugely successful in a particular role, that's the only kind of thing you offered further down the line. But of course, I'm delighted that he ignored me, you're quite right, because he's such a brilliant, versatile actor, it was not any kind of problem for him, you know.
Yeah. And I just, when it was pitched to you, was it more
or less? No, it's wrong to use the word pitch. George didn't pitch anything. He just said, how you doing? And we had a little conversation that lasted about 8 minutes. And I subsequently heard exactly the same story, that he had a marks out of 10. And if you were a 6, you got a, this kind of role, you got to be like an admiral. If you were a 5, you got to be a pilot. If you were, you know,
yeah.
If you were a 3, you got to be a stormtrooper, and you didn't get to say anything.
If you were 1, you're the charter maids of Uncle Owen and Aunt
Peru. If you were 1, you were looking after the trailers.
No, cleaning out the bathrooms. It was weird like that. So, and then, as we were saying yesterday, that we didn't have any idea what things looked like. So, I mean, like, we didn't know what the spaceships looked like.
No.
We didn't know what, ooh, Death Star. What does that mean?
I mean,
no, we're all trying to imagine what a Death Star looked like. It was weird. So you're just sort of working blind.
Yeah, that's right.
But, I mean, personally, I used, you know, Spitfire pilots as a sort of, I thought, well, it's supposed to be like a space, like a spaceship battle. It's supposed to be like, so what's the closest thing that we've got? It's like Spitfires and the Battle of Britain and things like that. So you sort of mimicked what those people were doing and hoped that they got it right so that you could get it right.
I mean, if I actually remember right, you might, some of the Star Wars fans might be able to help me with this. Before the effects were done, there was a rough cut where instead of seeing the TIE fighters and the X-Wings, they actually cut in footage.
That's true.
From the Battle of Britain. And
same World War footage.
Yes.
And George did his first cut.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, when he did his first cut of the film. Because there's a lot of, back in Hollywood, they were going, what is this really, you know. And so he cut in battle sequences from the Second World War.
Yeah.
And I think it was, as I recall, the guy, I think it was Steven Spielberg, went, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
So that was, it was just, it was that rough at that time. Yeah.
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 Because they had to give the idea of what it would be like, and they didn't have the effects yet, so they put in, if I remember it, it was footage, like you said, from World War II, and then they interspliced your performances as like you were the pilot.
Yeah,
and I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah,
just take out the sky, add in night.
Done. I didn't know that. I had no idea.
Hey, yeah.
No, I didn't know they did that.
That's every day is a school day.
That's why I come to these events.
I learned something. You learned something, I guess.
Absolutely.
There you are.
You should always learn. Always learn.
We've got time for a couple more questions right here. So do you want to just make your way to the microphone, please, and thank you?
Beat you to it.
I'll
get you as well.
Mr. Lawson, could you just set the record straight as to why it wasn't you as the actor that played Wedge in the big conference room when they're planning the Death Star attack? It was a different actor.
Yes, that's
why,
right.
Why it wasn't you?
Well, okay, then. All right. What happened was, I met George, right, as I said, and then I went away and did a couple of films. I came back and suddenly they cast someone else. They didn't cast me. And I don't know why, honestly, I have no idea, he didn't work out, okay? So I think looked a little bit like him. This is how random it was. And so they asked me I didn't know I was taking over, stepping in. And that's why they revoiced, for that one movie, the role, so that both voices would match into one, right? So I honestly have no idea why that guy didn't work out. Well spotted, because that's what happened.
More learning.
If I remember right, that's the, during the Death Star plan scene, that's the actor that Luke is talking to about the vent being 2 meters wide. Is that right? He just has that one line. That's impossible.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. So that's the. That's the explanation.
Yeah. And I believe it was yourself. Yeah. I wasn't going to leave you hanging like that. You got up for your question. Blame this guy. He got there before you.
Yeah.
Everybody, boo him.
Boo.
The power of a microphone. Sorry, sir. Go ahead.
See, with the names of the films, mm-hmm. so many different, but it was actually the first one was
Luke Starkiller.
Kill Walker.
Yeah, that's right. I think it went like a few.
Names.
Yeah.
Names
are. Yeah. That's right, yeah. In a few of the scripts, they went by different names, so I think Luke wasn't Luke Skywalker back then, it was Luke Starkiller or Killwalker or anything like that. So, was your characters that. By the way, just in case anybody knows, Angus's character name is not Gold Leader. What's your character name, Angus?
My character's name is John Dutch Vander.
That's right, there's a John in Star Wars.
Could have been Fred.
Well, you found that out from a fan that your character's name was John, and if I remember right, isn't there two Antilles? There's two Antilles in the first Star Wars, isn't there? There's Wedge Antilles, and then there's Captain Antilles on Leia's ship.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
no, I'm learning something.
A cousin.
Distant cousin, twice removed.
Both at the dark side, both in the Rebel Legion, but one was just higher up. One was a captain, the other was just a pilot.
Just a pilot schmallet,
Pilot schmallet that was there for two Death Star attacks. This man
Nothing
right here.
Really, no big deal, you know what I mean?
Let me just check the time we have. You know what, I'm feeling generous, we have time for one more question. Oh, I can only do the one, so I'm going to leave it up to the actors here to find out which one it's going to be.
I think she's leaving. She's disgusted.
I'll tell you what,
here we go.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Sorry, Doctor, but you know what? You can go to the table and ask them the question then, all right?
Hi, this is Guy Henry, and you're listening to Fantha Tracks. Enjoy.
Make it a good one, sir.
Hi there. Just wondering how you've seen the business change over the years since you started, both positively and negatively, thinking like actor strike and all this kind of stuff that's happened. So just your experiences of how you see the industry now compared to when you started.
Oh boy.
That's really close to the bone. Yeah. You've got 3 minutes to answer this question.
Yeah, a lot.
There we go. Perfect. Lovely.
Yeah, it's changed in a way that I find personally almost impossible to deal with. I mean, we were talking about this yesterday at lunch, and we come from a tradition where you meet a director and you discuss what's going on. Now the industry is mainly made up of taking selfies. You sit there with your camera and you do an audition, and then you upload it, and then it's goodbye. And then if they call you and say you've got the job, that's fine. And my objection to that is that there's no communication between the director, there's no chemistry between people. And there's also this business of CGI, which is, I mean, I have a lot of time for CGI and I think it has its place, but when you put actors into suits and then put sensors on them and sit them in front of a green screen and expect people to interact as actors would normally interact, that's nonsense.
Yeah.
That is not going to happen, as far as I'm concerned. That you have to be able to look into another actor's eyes, and you have to be able to smell their sweat in order to get the bits you need to drive what you're doing. But small movies, if you look at small movies, you'll see performances that blow big pictures right out of the water. I watched some of those big tentpole movies. I've got no time for this, but I watch small movies, small budget movies, and you can see that the director and the actors are right in there, and they know what they're doing, and I am absolutely stunned at what I see. Some of the performances I've watched lately on television and some of the series, I don't know how they do it, frankly. I mean, I feel so out of my depth when I see some of the performers today. They just are so good. And the productions are so excellent. But some of the big stuff, I haven't got the time. I couldn't get out of bed. I wouldn't walk across the street to see it. Thank you very much, honestly. But the business has changed fundamentally. It's become way too business orientated. But if you get down to the ground and you're doing the smaller stuff, you know, a cheap little movie, wow, you know, it's remarkable what comes up I've seen performances that I just don't understand how they do it.
Yeah,
frankly, yeah.
I think I would just add to that, one of the big fears now is AI.
Oh, God.
You know, that is scary stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea if my voice has been stolen or his.
Yeah.
And how are we going to trace it? We got this damn machine that's going to spit us out. I watched a thing the other day. The Prime Minister of Pakistan, who's in jail now, Imran Khan, he was addressing a crowd of about 20,000 people on a huge screen. It was completely AI generated. His voice, his image, and it looked, honest to God, like him. And he's in jail. And if they can do that, yeah, off the cuff, what are they going to do if they actually try? So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to appear somewhere and they're going to tweak my face and say, well, there's a performance. Well, no, thank you very much. It's terrifying.
It really is. It is.
But on the other hand, AI is doing things in medical research and is doing things in material research and all kinds of research that is revolutionary. So it's like that classic double-edged sword. I mean, it's got one side that's fabulous and the other side will cut you to death.
Yeah.
So, don't know. It's a tough one, that.
Yes, changing.
It really has. Take that as you will, sir. As if you want. We do have to wrap this here, folks. I could talk to you all day, but unfortunately, I have more people to talk to. I will be back at 12 o'clock with Paul Freeman, but more than anything else, please, huge round of applause for Dennis and Angus. Thank you, gents.
Thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure.
If you want to be part of the action, visit fanthatracks.com or be sure to comment, like and share on our social media feeds at Fanthatracks. Send in your listeners' questions by emailing radio@fanthatracks.com. Subscribe, leave a review, preferably a 5-star one, on Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher or smart speaker of choice. And as always, thanks to James Temple for composing the Fanthatracks intro, Adam O'Brien for our making tracks opening music, and Mark Daniel and Vanessa Marshall for our voiceovers. Tune in to Good Morning Tatooine. It's live Sunday evenings, 9 o'clock UK, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, on Facebook, YouTube and Twitch. And check out our Fanthatracks Radio Friday night rotation every Friday at 7 o'clock UK time for new episodes of The Phantom from Down Under, Planet Layer, Desert Planet Discs, Start Your Engines, Collecting Tracks, Cannon Fodder, and special episodes of Making Tracks. And every Tuesday at 7 o'clock UK time for your weekly episode of Making Tracks. And remember, Fanthatracks.com, our social media feeds, Fanthatracks TV and Fanthatracks Radio are absolutely free. So no Patreon, Buy Me a Coffee, Kickstarter or Indiegogo required to stay updated on all the latest Star Wars news.
Until we catch up with you again, may the Force be with you.
Coming up next on Fanthatracks Radio, it's another episode of Making Tracks.